Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text 25 to begin with. And then we'll go on to other verses because there's no purport to this verse. Esha Atma Pavaryasho. Ya Linge Linga Bhavana. Esha Priya Priyar Yoga. Viyoga Karma Samsmriti. Just read the translation because we'll read a number of verses. In his bewildered state, the living entity, accepting the body and mind to be the self, considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in the material world. The conditioned soul that's situated must take birth in different species and work in various types of consciousness, thus creating new bodies. This continual material life is called samsara. Birth, death, lamentation, foolishness, and anxiety are due to work to such material considerations. Thus we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again into a wrong conception of life. Text 27. In this regard, an example is given from an old history. This involves a discourse between Yamaraj and the friends of a dead person. Please hear it attentively. Purport. The word itihasa puratanam means old history. The Puranas are not chronologically recorded, but the incidents mentioned in the Puranas are actual histories of bygone ages. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana, the essence of all the Puranas. The Mayavadi scholars do not accept the Puranas, but Srila Madhvacharya and all other authorities accept them as authoritative histories of the world. As they say about history, the one thing that people learn from history is what?
Mistakes.
That people don't learn from history. Punat punas charavita charavanana. The same things have been going on again and again since time immemorial, and still people fall for the same illusions. That's the nature of illusion. One of the natures of illusion is that after delusion comes forgetfulness. So everyone who is in delusion is usually also in forgetfulness of even what caused the delusion. As a matter of fact, generally the conditioned soul is so forgetful and deluded that the very cause of his suffering he thinks is the cause of his happiness. He thinks the only reason why he's not happy is that he's separated from the causes of his suffering, which doesn't make for a very pleasant existence. It's just like a dog. A dog wants to eat something at your table, and he comes to the table to eat it, and you take a newspaper, and you go, whack! Ah! And the dog runs away. And then 5 minutes later, the dog is coming back, trying to enjoy again. You take the same newspaper and go, whack! And this goes on. It's called not learning. So the conditioned soul, because of forgetfulness and loss of intelligence, doesn't learn that lust, greed, anger, delusion are not his desirable goals. And because he has no other goal, he has no other alternative, therefore he has to accept these things again and again. Maybe sometimes in the mode of goodness, sometimes in the mode of passion, and often in the mode of ignorance. But the Puranas, they give us history, but not just simply so that we can learn from history, so that we can learn from the examples of how people didn't learn from history, or how they did learn when they accepted devotional service. iti guyatama shastram idanmyakva mayanaga etad buddha buddhi buddhimatsya krita kritasvibharata. This is the most confidential part of all knowledge, that whoever understands this becomes wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajantemam sarva bhavena bharata. Yomam evam asamudo. One who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. So that's the most confidential part of all knowledge, and if we know that, then iti guyatama shastram idam yukva mayanaga etad bhutva bhurimat syat krita kritasyavarada. This is the most confidential part of all Vedic knowledge. Whoever knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Anyone who doesn't understand this is not wise, and his endeavors will not know perfection. He may be relatively wise in terms of mundane experience, because after all, those who are in the mode of goodness, we find they're more wise than those in the mode of passion or ignorance. But being wise, a wise person in illusion, is also illusion. In other words, you may know how to expertly arrange your illusion, or as I say, it's how to manage or oneself an illusion. What do you call that when you drive through something? How to
navigate.
How do you navigate through illusion? But still, you're an illusion. You may be the top of the. You may be in a first-class prison cell, and others may think, "Well, he's somehow or another he became qualified to be in a first-class prison cell. He must be quite wise." But after all, it's still a prison cell. So anyone, whether it be Brahma who creates the whole universe, down to the Indragopa, they're all in prison cells, and therefore none of them can be said to be perfectly wise. Because Brahma, he speaks Brahma Samhita because at that time he had realized Krishna and therefore he actually became wise. And everyone has that opportunity, it says, to become wise if we learn from the Vedic knowledge. Therefore Krishna says, Mam hi partha vyapasrita yepisi papiyonaya Sriyo Vaisha Sita Sudras Tepi Yanti Puram Gatim. That anyone who takes shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishas, or Shudras, they can yet obtain the supreme destination. So there's no bar to making progress for anyone. Kim Punar Brahmana Punyas Bhakti Rajarshya Sita Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapse. Is that right? But what's to speak of the saintly kings, the Brahmins and the saintly kings, Kim Prama, Brahmana, Punyas, Bhakta, and the devotees, who in this miserable temporary world engage themselves in devotional service to me. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mame Vaishasi, Yuktaivam, Atmana Mat Parayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Engage your, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. The result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So anyone who does that, they'll gradually make progress. And anyone who doesn't do that, they may, if they follow the Vedic instructions, make some progress in the modes of material nature, but they're missing out on the actual goal. They don't actually know that the goal is Nate Vidu Swarthakitim Hi Vishnu. So that's what the Vedas are trying to tell us. The goal is Vishnu, is to obtain Krishna. The Rashaya Ye Bahi Arathimanya. And to put aside all the other less significant things. So when Krishna gives the essence of the Vedas, Sarva Dharma Parijaja Mame Kama Sharanam Raja, aham tvam sara papebhyo mokshisyami ma suchaha. Krishna gives the essence of the Vedas at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Give up all these other processes and just surrender to me. As Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion. Or as I said many times, people have at least understood that instruction of Krishna, that part of the instruction. For the most part, they've given up all varieties of religion. But the next part is a more difficult part to follow. But surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna will protect one from all sinful reactions. Now, one may question, in the histories of our history, the Puranas, it didn't appear that Krishna always protected everyone from sinful reactions. Or did he? Apparently, Ambarish Maharaj didn't have any sinful reactions, but Krishna protected him. And Prahlad Maharaj, he was being tortured, but Krishna protected him. But Jatayu, he fought against Ravana and he died. So maybe he wasn't really sincere. Or maybe he was so sinful because he took birth as a bird that Krishna just couldn't protect him. No, he was protected. After all, if you have Lord Ramachandra personally with you at the time of death, and personally performing your death ceremony, I mean, you must have, you know, you must have some good friends somewhere. It can't be all bleak. No, so it's not a question of just what happens externally. It's also a question what our consciousness is. The perfection is ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, remember Narayan. Now, even imperfectly, Ajamil remembered Narayan at the time of death. Although he didn't go back to Godhead, he didn't go to hell either. And he got a chance to see personally the Yamadutas without having to accept their invitation to go for a long walk with them. So he saw them and he saw the Vishnudutas and he was quite clear of what he should do next. And so he left and he went and practice devotional service quite sincerely, remembering the Vishnu Dutas and remembering the Yama Dutas also. So this is an example that devotional service, we may not become perfect, but if we execute it sincerely, then gradually we can get the inspiration to become perfect. But we should give up, as it says, if we give up the reactions, or we give up the activities that cause the reactions and surrender to Krishna, then he'll protect us. Even if it's not, we don't go back to Godhead, we're still being protected. Every time there is some impulse from the material energy telling us to perform activities which are against the process of devotional service, and every time we take shelter of Krishna sincerely, then we're protected from these sinful reactions. That's really the most important thing. Not that suddenly when we don't do it, then Vaikuntha airplane comes and takes us back to the spiritual world immediately. No, every time we get a higher taste and we decline the invitation of Maya to engage in sense gratification, then we're being protected. And what to speak of sense gratification, we're also being protected from illusory conceptions of existence. That I and everyone else are their body. Now here, Hiranyakashipu, I guess maybe his audience was falling asleep or something, so he decided to tell a story. Most people don't like to hear a whole lot of philosophy when their minds are disturbed. But it's an interesting story there. Grab some popcorn and listen to my story. So they all sat around listening to the story, which more or less illustrated the points he was going to say. So therefore we can understand that when people can't understand the point that's trying to be conveyed philosophically, then there are stories that are given to illustrate them. And here on the seventh canto, we can see that people are still falling asleep listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, there's still many more stories to be told so that we can stay awake and appreciate ultimately what the message was. Hiranyakashipu already gave the message, but obviously he was looking at the audience and figured they didn't accept it. They were still crying, oh, you so much philosophy, help us. So now he's going to tell a story. Oh, a story, all right. To illustrate the philosophy that in this material world, everyone is becoming attached to so many different relationships. And in the end, one simply has to leave them and go to another situation to again become overwhelmed by lamentation and so-called happiness, etc., etc. Foolishness, anxiety, all due to the fact that we're identifying ourselves and others with their gross and subtle bodies, hankering to exploit them, to get some gratification of our senses from them, and lamenting that actually they don't want to gratify our senses, they want to gratify their senses. So we're looking for love and happiness, and finding that no one has any love here really in the material world. Everyone is simply attracted to exploitation. And only when we become conscious of Krishna can we actually understand what real love is. Not only love for Krishna, but love for everyone. Only when we try to practice sadhana bhakti and distribute Krishna consciousness to others can we get some idea that what actual purely, what pure consciousness is and what we're actually supposed to be striving for. Of course, Hiranyakashipu is just trying to get them out of the bodily concept of life so that maybe they can do some service. Because after all, if everyone's crying all the time, you can't get much done. So he's trying to get them out of this material consciousness, but not into Krishna consciousness. Because he doesn't know very much about Krishna consciousness himself. But he's quite an effective storyteller, and we'll find out more about his story later. Any questions? Yes.
So in the first verse, it was said that one sees some people as his kinsmen and others as outsiders. And therefore that's the reason why he suffers. So in devotional service we also see that a devotee should, at least Madhava devotee, he should see how some are devotees and some are outsiders also.
Yes.
Kinsmen and outsiders. So that means he still suffers also.
Well, this is Madhava Madhukari, he's seeing things from the spiritual point of view. And he's not seeing that someone is not Krishna's servant. He's saying that those, some people are under the spell of the modes of material nature, and therefore he engages with them appropriately. He still always sees the soul. He understands the soul's there and the super soul. But he knows how to properly reciprocate with them in order to help them become advanced in devotional service. He sees, if you think everyone is a Mahabhagavat, then of course you won't preach, because there's no preaching to be done. But if you see people who are innocent being engaged by the modes of material nature, then you can give them some Krishna consciousness appropriately. And if you see some people are atheists or against Krishna, then you won't spend your time getting them more angry by telling them about Krishna. Even Prahlad Maharaj didn't preach to his father so much. It just, when his father asked him, you know, what's the best thing you learn in school? And Prahlad, he asked an honest question, so he gave an honest answer. The best thing I've learned in school, my dear father, is that you're a number one fool. So he's honest, that's all. Tat sadamanye suryavarya dehinam. Oh, big demon, sadasamudvigna diyama satgraha. You're just bewildered. You've gotten a body which is supposedly indestructible, but your mind is just, you know, out there somewhere, in full anxiety. Otherwise, why you smell like you're drinking? So you must be full of anxiety. Otherwise, why would you be drinking this strong alcohol? So Prahlad was honest, but after that, he didn't really preach very much to his father. Only when his father asked him, he didn't say, "Father, you know, day knows me, day hey, come." He even knew that. Hiranyakashipu, but he didn't talk very much. Still, he talked to his schoolmates, who were more receptive. He avoided talking to Hiranyakashipu, but to his schoolmates, he definitely gave them some instructions. Komara achra pragyo dharman bhagavatan hiha. From the very tender age of childhood, you should begin the process of devotional service. So there he preached to them. But he also saw Hiranyakashipu as Krishna's eternal servant, and therefore he prayed for his father that he could become freed from his sinful reactions. Pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to protect his father. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I have one maybe silly question. When did Hiranyakashipu get that spiritual knowledge?
It wasn't from Prahlad. Prahlad wasn't around at the time. Well, because that knowledge was common. It's common knowledge. Anyone who studied the Vedas, you know, that's what they found out. This is the message in the Vedas. And undoubtedly, to know what to do in life, one needs vision from the Vedas. So anyone who had any vision, it's not that Hiranyakashipu grew up, you know, he never went to school. He also went to school, like Amarka and Sunanda. He had his Sukracharya, was there his spiritual master. So he learned from childhood, he learned about the Vedas. He just didn't find out very much about Krishna, that's all. In a favorable way, at least. So everyone, even the demons, were educated. Yes?
You mentioned Hiranyakashipu was in anxiety. And I'm wondering, if he controlled the whole universe, what would he be in anxiety about? It seems there's nothing to be anxious about, for instance.
Well, he wasn't controlling the whole universe. And obviously, if you look around, you see everyone's time is still changing everything. You might get a little anxiety. Because after all, in the back of his mind, he knew that Brahma, he told me, he himself was going to die. And therefore, he couldn't give me this benediction. So although I asked for 100 benedictions that made it pretty sure that I wasn't going to die, still there was something wrong. Something that I left out, I'm sure. So he was in anxiety because he knew he was probably going to die in spite of all his attempts. Which puts you even to more anxiety. 120 years standing on the tip of your toes, your arms outraged, not eating anything, not sleeping. And then at the end you die anyhow. It's pretty frustrating. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.